Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Thank you, Tim. 108, John Williams here. Are you?
I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at the James Brown wig. I didn't say she wasn't attractive. I love James Brown.
We're here until 3 o'clock. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And that was one of the sound bites from the week that I've been scratching my head on because, however dumb that was or inconsiderate or unkind that was, I did not think that topic, that comment by Bill O'Reilly making fun of Maxine Waters' hair was going to blow up the way it did. And yet I read three separate columns about it today, and they sure are extrapolating a lot from that stupid thing that he said, aren't they? We'll get to that a little later on. I also want to talk about the internet privacy issue. And so the current administration is rolling back a plan to make the internet a little more secure or private for you. It isn't now, but the law was going to change so that it would be harder for Comcast to share all of your comings and goings and doings on the internet. That was going to change. Now it's not. Those regulations have been rolled back. That's seen as more business friendly, but it's also seen as less consumer friendly. And that's the current Congress. That's the current FCC. That's the current administration that you've got. So what does that mean? And where do we go from here? I was thinking about that when I then found an article today that said that the number one most common password across the globe is 123456. The next one is 1234567 8. The next one is QWERTY, QWERTY. The top left-hand keys on your keyboard, if you've got a laptop in front of you, or typewriter. Typewriters are things we used to put paper in. Far too many people, according to one story today, use the remarkably unimaginative password of 11111. And many others can unlock their accounts just by punching in seven sevens in a row. The top 25 passwords last year accounted for more than half of the passwords analyzed. I mean, think about that. There's millions and billions of us with zillions and zillions of passwords, and half of them fall into 25 single word or number combinations. I will say this. We'll talk about this again in our 2 o'clock hour. I want to talk about cars here first. But one thing that somebody pointed out to me, because I'm terrible about passwords and I'm terrible about usernames, and there's just so many of them, it kind of ticks me off that I have to remember what my password is every time I go to get online pictures developed at Walgreens. I'm thinking, Walgreens? Are you kidding me? I'm not asking for prescription information here. This is for the photo part of their website. Why do I have to remember a separate password for that? I mean, shoot, it's just pictures of me standing on a beach with a sunburn. I should be able to get those developed without remembering something special. Anyway, the tip that somebody pointed out to me is that when you create passwords, you could write words that you'll remember, but substitute numbers for the letters on occasion. I suppose you've already thought about this, right? So if you were going to use the word week, W-E-E-K, you could spell it W-3-3-K. And then if you can remember that you did that, that will make it less obvious than if it was just letters or numbers. So you could spell Steve Bertrand. You could make it your name, Steve. It could be S-T-3-V-3.
I can't remember. How could I? I can't remember the words.
Well, I'm thinking you should pick a word you would remember, like your name.
Sure, but then it's like, okay, so
did I use the letters or the numbers?
The three is an E and the... No, it's not going to happen.
I do have a solution for this, but I'm not going to go into it right now, but it's that we chip everybody. You put a chip in your finger, and it has all that information in there, and then you just put your finger up to the screen or up to a little device that you'll plug into your portable device, and that would read your finger, and that data would be stored there. And it could be randomly changed all the time. You wouldn't even have to know it. It would just be attached to you. How awesome would that be? You know who would love this idea? David Johnson. He's with Time Magazine, and he is a data journalist. What do you think about chipping human beings, David? We'll start there. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, he's not even going to bite on that. You like my idea?
No, I can't.
Tell me you love that idea, David.
My passwords are definitely too common, that's for sure. I'll give you that much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that then. I was scrolling through the internets yesterday, and I saw a piece that Time put out. We've actually posted this. Is this on our Facebook page already, Elif, or we're about to? Well, we're about to put it on my Facebook page. But it's a widget that has been developed. You type in the car that you're driving, and it tells you where its major component parts were made and what percentage of it was made in America. I think that's pretty awesome. If you care about that sort of thing, and a lot of people do. For instance, Steve, would you want to just tell me? The last three cars I bought are a Toyota Prius, a Chevy Malibu, a Volvo S80. I could type in my Subaru, too. I bought a Subaru. I don't go through cars that often, but those are the last four that we bought. I'll type in S-U-B-A-R-U, and it was the Outback. Type in that. Okay, there it is. It was assembled in the United States, and 45% of the parts came from the United States or Canada. The engine came from Japan, and the transmission came from Japan. Just kind of interesting to know. Why did you guys take up this tech? Why are you interested in this, David?
We were interested because Trump has been talking about, you know, where is the manufacturing, where are the jobs going, and trying to get deeper than just where the people, but where are the parts coming from, and understanding that a car could be manufactured, or a better word is really assembled in the United States. But its parts could come from all over the world. So it could be kind of tokenism or sort of a shell. We wanted to get deeper into that, figure out really who is making in America to get beyond the rhetoric.
I'm King John on Facebook, and a link to this tool of yours is now on my Facebook page. It's also at time.com. But this is interesting. So, all right, I bought a Subaru Outback a couple years ago. It was assembled in the United States. A plant made car in the United States. But it's a Subaru. It's a Japanese engine. It's a Japanese transmission. And only 45% of the parts are from the United States or Canada. So now, if I were trying to buy America first, I've kind of got a decision to make here, don't I? Assembled in the United States, that's a U.S. plant. It was made here, but it's not American component parts, right?
Yeah, that's right. And there are other non-American companies like Acura, for instance, which is a Japanese, Japan-based company. They actually make 70% of their vehicles in the United States, and that's specifically U.S.-sold vehicles. So they, of course, make vehicles for a worldwide market. But those sold in the U.S., 70% of them are made here, which is a higher percentage than Chevrolet and Ford, which are both kind of around similar, right underneath that. Toyota and Honda make around 40-60% of their U.S. old cars here. So they're beating quite a few American manufacturers in terms of just the pure location of assembly, not necessarily that percentage of parts.
It sort of, though, gets to that conundrum of, okay, so should I buy the Ford Focus, which is made in Mexico, or the Subaru Outback, which is made in the United States? You have any guidance for me on that?
Well, you know, I think it really depends on how you view contributing or input back into the American economy. And it's complicated. Like, from speaking with a couple people who work in the auto industry, there really isn't a consensus about the best way forward, or kind of the most American way. There is one expert who works, a professor at American University in Washington, D.C. He does a little more research to figure out what's really American-made. He adds some extra factors like research and development. So a really stellar example would be Tesla, which is, of course, out of most of our budget range. But they're doing the research and development in the United States. They're assembling 100% in the United States. So they are really above and beyond the rest of the companies, but they have a much smaller market, of course.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'll tell you what, here's my number, 312-981-7200. If you want us to look up your car, go ahead and give us a call. By the way, I said a Ford Focus was made in Mexico because I know it has Mexican component parts. It has a Mexican transmission. I don't think it's a Mexican transmission. It's a transmission. It's not a Mexican transmission, but it was made in Mexico. I don't think transmissions can have ethnicities or nationalities. But anyway, it's a little point, but it just dawned on me. It's assembled in the United States. So a Ford Focus is made here, but 60% of its parts are not. So there's the Ford Focus, and 60% of it is foreign-born. So maybe people care, maybe they don't. I'd like to think, though, that You know, a Ford F-150 would be 100-100. In fact, let me type that in. Ford.
Yeah, and you hit on a trend where smaller cars, they tend to be made outside the United States. And then the bigger trucks, the SUVs, we have the manufacturing capability for the bigger vehicles in the United States. So with Ford, they've made a big announcement. I think it was on Tuesday. They've invested $1.2 billion in three different Michigan plants, which is a near reversal of their decision to build a new Mexican assembly plant in Mexico.
Yeah.
So they've said, oh, people think, oh, it's Trump. It's because Trump has pressured them. But the CEO, Mark Fields, says, yeah, part of it is that there's a change, potential changes coming down the pipeline for tax, for corporate tax policy. But a huge piece is that, gas prices have come down. So consumers want bigger cars, and we just have the capacity to build those here. So we've seen a shift away from the smaller cars back to the F-150, which we think of as very American-made, and in fact really is more American-made.
Absolutely. This thing's virtually wearing a cowboy hat. The engine's from here, the transmission is from here, and 70% of the parts are from here, which is probably about as...
Yeah, quite a jump from the Ford Focus, right?
Yeah, exactly. So smaller elsewhere. Well, and I didn't call you to have a political conversation here, but when the president says that now Ford is coming back or they've launched more jobs, those sorts of things, my understanding is that that can't necessarily be in response to the new president because these decisions would take years to kind of formalize and determine, right, David?
Yeah, not only does it take years to make those decisions also last for years. So if I build a new assembly plant, that's not something I'm going to turn around and shut down in 4 years. That's going to be more in the matter of decades. So they're looking way beyond President Trump. They're thinking about, okay, what is the tax policy going to be like in 10 years from now? And so there's definitely some hesitation to see if more really Congress than the president is going to change tax policy and if there's going to be any changes to free trade agreements. But way before that, we've had, like I mentioned, lower gas prices and a changing market, which has just really hurt the small car industry. People saw it going in that direction, and we've really taken a turn back to SUVs and trucks.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're really right. It's much more than Trump.
It's also 120. Stay right there for just a second, David Johnson, Time Magazine's data journalist. He's written a few stories about the auto industry. And so this tool is you just type in your vehicle and up pops the percentage of the car made here and also where the engine and where the transmission was. I just typed in Mercedes-Benz C-Class. I was driving one of those not that long ago. It's fun to do commercials for Mercedes because they let you drive their cars a little bit. And while the E-Class, the midsize one, is largely produced in Germany, hardly any, I think it was 0% American-made, the C-Class is assembled in the United States, and 72% of the parts are from here. The engine is made in America. You want that good engine, German design, engineering, and construction? Guess what? The Mercedes is an American product. The transmission is from Germany. 312-981-7200. I'll look up your vehicle if you call me now on WGN. A text is poured into the show. It's from Lou Manfredini, who yesterday or 2 days ago made fun of me. He said, "You are quirky, John," on the radio. And now the text is poured in, and it said, "When I said you were a quirker, you took issue with that. You just described transmissions as being Mexican." Well, that's funny. Yeah, I did sort of do that. There's a new team coming to town, the WGN-TV Evening News team at 4. Join Ben Bradley, Lourdes Duarte, Demetrius Ivory, and Jarrett Payton weekdays at 4. Starting Tuesday on WGN-TV. It's 124 and a half. David Johnson's got a couple more minutes for us. He's a journalist with Time Magazine. He's on the data side. And did you actually build that tool or did somebody else sort of make that and you guys just put it up?
Yeah, I actually did build the tool. I got the data from the federal government. They published it on the website. And then with code, turned it into what you see on the website.
Okay, let's pick up a couple of phone lines here. You were asking about the cars you're driving. We'll start with Aaron. Hi, Aaron. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
I was listening to your statement on trucks, and when I was working in the car business, there's tariffs in place so that it makes importing trucks and large vehicles astronomical cost to import them. I also noticed not just a lot of engines and transmissions being made in Japan and China, but a lot of paint is done overseas.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And but I'm sorry, what is your point, Aaron? Are you asking us something here? Or?
Well, I was just kind of, actually, I had more of a question for, I believe Ford is the last true American company. While Toyota and Honda build probably most of their cars over here, I believe Ford is the last.
Well, Ford is actually owned by a foreign company, isn't it? Is General Motors is, I don't know, do you know about that, David? What is the most American owned of the big three or of any of these auto companies?
I don't think that Ford is owned by foreign, but yeah, so it is American owned.
Oh, Chrysler. You know what I'm thinking of, Chrysler.
We didn't do any sort of rankings. We didn't do any rankings in terms of which ones, in terms of owning, or, you know, where is the money going. This is just looking at what's made here versus elsewhere.
Yeah, okay. Let's try Sue. Thanks for the call.
To the caller's point, they definitely, that's true about the tariffs with the trucks. And also just thinking about shipping, you know, much cheaper to ship a small car across borders than a truck or an SUV.
Fair enough. But are you saying that if those tariffs weren't in place, that maybe we wouldn't be manufacturing those large vehicles here?
You know, that's... I'd have to look into that. It's possible.
I mean, that's a good question. So I think, a lot of us who think, oh, wait a minute, we shouldn't be all protectionist, might pause when we see SUVs being made in Mexico or someplace else, right?
Yeah, but I think that generally we continue to make those here. They tend to upgrade and repurpose the American plants for the bigger vehicles because it's cheaper to make those here and then ship them nationwide as opposed to the smaller vehicles. It just makes more sense to ship those from those points. And then also, the foreign markets, they're building cars in Mexico for U.S. to be sold in the U.S., but also to be sold worldwide. And those are selling at higher rates across the world as opposed to trucks. We're seeing more trucks bought in the United States.
Tom is on WGN. Tom, what can we do for you? Hi.
Yeah, I want you to look up a car at one point. But real quick, I have a friend of mine that runs a car carrier. And I was speaking with him, and he said he was delivering Mercedes SUVs built here in the States that were right-hand drive to be, and he was sending them up to like North Carolina to be shipped over to England. And they were built here in the States, which I thought was kind of, wow, that's different.
Right. That is interesting.
That's definitely happening as well. I think the larger trend is that we have more of the big cars here, but we're also sending some abroad as well.
What's the car you want me to look up for you, Tom?
Jeep Wrangler 2002.
Okay, they don't go back. This tool only goes back to 2007, so I can only go back 9 years. But let me look up a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Jeep Wrangler was definitely made, and it's still made in the United States.
Yeah,
I know that just because Jeep just started making their first car in Italy in 2016. They started the Renegade, and now they have the Compass is also going to be made in Italy. But otherwise, everything else.
Yeah, assembled in the USA, American engine, American transmission, 75% or more parts.
Yeah, I heard that when Jeep was owned by Daimler Benz, that one of the transmission or something like that in that was Mercedes. That's what I just kind of there were some, you know, Daimler Benz parts in the Jeep products.
Yeah, but, interesting. Yeah,
that would go back to when Daimler-Benz owned Jeep. So.
Yeah, right. We're just only going back about 9 years here. That's an interesting tool. So it's online. You can check it out at Time Magazine site. You can also check it out on my Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook, and you just type in your car, and then it'll tell you a little bit about its background. Nice to talk to you, David. Let's talk cars again someday. I appreciate your help today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, David Johnson, Time Magazine data journalist.